fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. There are celebrations all across France after the country's national football team lifted its second World Cup title in Moscow, Russia. France defeated Croatia 4-2 in the final. Reporter Lisa Bryant went out on the streets of Paris after France's victory, and she filed this report.
Parisians were literally dancing in the streets and in one neighborhood plunging into a canal to celebrate their victory. Nina Kanyak summed up her feelings in one word: great.
Because we haven't won in a long time, so it's actually a really good feeling. And it's just to see, like, the mood in the street is just so nice because we weren't expecting that. Or, I mean, I wasn't.
Fatoumata Kebe had a French flag draped over her shoulders as she toasted the victory with her baby. We've won, says Kebe, who has dual French and Guinean nationality. We're the champions. France's win over Croatia appeared all but certain once the French soccer team scored its third goal and then its fourth. The World Cup finals come just a day after the country marked Bastille Day. Now another revolution on the soccer field. France's last title was on home soil in 1998, when many celebrating here today were not even born. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye watched France's World Cup victory at a public viewing center near Lagos, Nigeria. Good evening, Iron Mike.
Good evening, Sonny. This is Iron Mike Mbonye. I'm at a public viewing center in Gowon Estate, Egbeda suburb of Lagos. It's obvious that France is cruising to victory, and as you can hear in the background, so many Nigerian soccer fans are rooting for the Blues of France. It's all over, and France are the new champions of the world. I'm going to seek the opinion of some soccer fans in Nigeria.
My name is George. As an African, is an example for Africans to look at it and improve their football game, because we've not gone anywhere.
Whom did you support?
France.
Why?
Because they are more experienced. France.
My name is Adam.
How did you see the match?
It's a nice game. It's a nice game. It's not far from what we expected. It's a nice game.
And where did your support go to?
Actually, I supported Croatia because they are in my group. I wanted somebody in my group to take up the cup.
Emmanuel.
And your take on the match?
Fine match, fine football, good final. I supported Croatia.
Why?
I don't know. I just love them. Love the way they play.
Patrick.
How did you see the final match?
It's a good outing for France. It's good. I actually supported France.
Why, sir?
They have a good team. So it's good. I love the team.
My name is Constance. I'm very happy about the football today. I'm so happy that France won. I'm very happy. 4-2. I'm very happy. 4-2.
Andrew, what's your views on the final match, World Cup match?
The best team won. The best team won. They've been the best team all around the tournament, and they won. I supported Croatia, but in reality, the best team won.
Well, my name is Martin.
So tell me something about the final match you just watched now.
Well, it's been an interesting World Cup from the very beginning till now. And the best team won it because France came from a very tough part of the group. Same with Croatia, though, but the best team won.
Okay, I'm Tunde Oyedele. I'm the publisher of iOnTheNews.com, an online publication. Well, it's a well-deserved victory. As you can see, it is a straight win. And you can see from the beginning that France dictated what they wanted to do from the beginning of this game. Forget about what happened in the past about Croatia that never lost a game. But in this final, you can see tenacity. You can see the kind of action, playing the game on the front foot.
while the Croatians also play on the back foot. So for today, it's a deserved victory for France, and you can look at it back 20 years ago. It's a repetition of history.
From the public viewing center, Gowanle State, Egbeda suburb of Lagos, this is Ayo Mike Mbonye, sending it back to Sonny. Sporty greetings to you.
And sporty greetings to you, Iron Mike. That's reporter Iron Mike Mbonye. And Iron Mike was taking the pulse of football fans at a public viewing center near Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'll have more on France winning its second World Cup football title, but first, let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to Novak Djokovic and Angelique Kerber, who won the men's and women's singles titles over the weekend at the Wimbledon Tennis Tournament in London. Djokovic defeated South Africa's Kevin Anderson in straight sets in the men's final, 6-2, 6-2, and 7-6. It was the Serbian star's fourth Wimbledon title and 13th career major. And it came after a rocky period that included an elbow injury that cost Djokovic the final 6 months of 2017. After his win, Djokovic said Wimbledon is the perfect stage to make his comeback.
I couldn't pick the better place, to be honest, in the tennis world to peak and to make a comeback. Wimbledon has been always a very special tournament to me and to many players, obviously. I dreamed of winning it when I was a 7-year-old boy. I made a lot of improvised Wimbledon trophies.
Meanwhile, Kevin Anderson was hoping to hold that Wimbledon trophy for the first time. But the tall South African says he was nervous at the start and didn't feel quite right.
I was definitely, you know, quite nervous starting out the match. Didn't play great tennis in the beginning. I mean, tried my best to, you know, keep at it, and you know, definitely felt much better in the third set. I had quite a few opportunities to win that third set, especially a couple of the points where Novak hit a couple of balls. I thought they're actually going out. They managed to land right on the line. You know, would have loved to have pushed it to another set, you know, but it obviously wasn't meant to be.
In the Wimbledon women's singles final, the German Angelique Kerber needed only 65 minutes to beat American star Serena Williams 6-3 and 6-3. It's the third major title for Kerber, who won the Australian Open and U.S. Open in 2016. Kerber says winning Wimbledon is a dream come true.
Winning Wimbledon, which was always my dream, and I think 2 weeks ago nobody expected that I can go so far. And I was trying to stay focused the whole 2 weeks, every single day, trying to improving my tennis and trying to staying in my moment and not thinking too much, not thinking what can happen. I played 2 good weeks for myself.
Angelique Kerber lost to Serena Williams in the 2016 Wimbledon women's singles final. After coming within one win of her eighth Wimbledon title and 24th career major, Serena had a special message for mothers.
I just feel like to tell all the moms, like I had such a long
struggle to come back, and it was really difficult. And honestly, I feel like if I can do it, they can do it. And I'm just that person, that vessel, that saying, you can be whatever you want to be if you want to go back to work. And there's, to me, after becoming a mom, I feel like there's no pressure to do that, because having a child is a completely full-time job. But to those that do want to go back, you know, just, you can do it, and you can really do it.
That's American mother and tennis star Serena Williams speaking at the Wimbledon tournament in London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The USA team won the Athletics World Cup in London on Sunday, taking the inaugural platinum trophy by a big margin. Poland finished second, and host Britain was third. Although South Africa trailed in the standings, world long jump champion Luvo Manyonga excelled. The energetic Andy Edwards looks back on the 2 days of competition in London's Olympic Stadium.
Even with a team depleted of many stars, the USA was always going to be favourite for this event, and so it proved, with their captain Queen Harrison leading the way with victory in the women's high hurdles. World pole vault champion Sam Kendricks also provided one of the highlights with two attempts at 6.05 meters, once his victory had been achieved with 5.83 meters over Germany's Raphael Holtstepper. The USA's Raven Rogers isn't yet a big name on the world circuit, but she demonstrated yet again her impressive finishing speed to win the women's 800. It was the kind of acceleration which has won her 5 U.S. collegiate titles and again showed she has the potential to race at the top. Although South Africa finished 7th of the 8 teams, world long jump champion Luvo Manyonga was a clear winner of his event, with all 4 efforts exceeding 8.48 meters. Renetta Steenkamp achieved a surprise win in the women's high hurdles, and Sunetta Viljoen gave them their first victory of the weekend as the African record holder took the women's javelin. Team captain Karina Horn finished 3rd in the women's 100 on the first day and can now concentrate on building on what has already been the best season of her career.
Coming into the season, I already had indoors and I broke the South African record there twice over 2 days. And then I knew, okay, if I can carry on my training, keep it up like that, I know something's going to happen in 100 meters, what I've been waiting for. And we had nationals earlier this year, a week after indoors, and I broke the SA record there as well. And yeah, so I thought, okay, if I get my training back to the 100 meters and focus on that, I think there will be something coming.
So what are we left with as impressions of this debut event by the Athletics World Governing Body, the IAAF? Their president, Sebastian Coe, said he wants innovation, and this weekend certainly tapped into the sport's history. Dual meetings, that is, national teams competing against each other, was long a staple of the sport until the Grand Prix circuit came into full flow in the late 1970s. The current athletic season is crowded with the Diamond League in full swing, so it was always going to be difficult to persuade the top athletes to compete in a new event, taking up an entire weekend. Hosting the competition on a weekend which saw Wimbledon reach its climax and the World Cup final in Russia meant securing publicity was destined to be an uphill struggle. But it does appear to have struck a chord with the spectators, who appreciated the switch to team rather than individual focus. The IAAF should be encouraged by this debut and, with a more suitable date in the calendar, should press on with its future. For the Sunny Side of Sport, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With more on France's World Cup football championship, let's go to reporter Samson Omale in Moscow.
France won the FIFA World Cup for the second time after defeating Croatia 4-2 in a thrilling final in Moscow on Sunday. The French team took the lead in the 18th minute of the match at the Luzhniki Stadium following an own goal from Croatia's Mario Mandzukic. Croatia equalized through a fine strike from Ivan Perisic. before French forward Antoine Griezmann scored a penalty shortly before halftime to make it 2-1. France extended its lead after the breakthrough goals from Manchester United midfielder Paul Pogba and 19-year-old sensation Kylian Mbappe before the forward Mandzukic netted a consolation goal for Croatia. It marks the second time that France has won the World Cup following its first title in 1998. The victory also meant that French coach Didier Deschamps became just the third man to win the competition as a player and coach. And reactions have been streaming in after France won the cup. Croatian coach Zlatko Dalic insisted that his Croatian team produced their best performance of the World Cup despite losing 4-2 to France. After the match, Dalic pointed to the first half penalty decision as a key moment in the game, but was gracious in defeat. In the meantime, Croatia's Luka Modric has been named as the best player after the Croatian star picked up the Golden Ball award. The Real Madrid midfielder ended up on the losing side in Sunday's final, but he was recognized for his contribution to his side's run to the showpiece, which included knockout victories over Denmark, Russia, and England. Belgium's Eden Hazard was second, and Antoine Griezmann, who lifted the World Cup trophy, was in third place. England's Harry Kane won the Golden Boot Award after finishing as the tournament's top scorer with 6. French duo of Antoine Griezmann and Kylian Mbappe finished on 4 goals alongside Russia's Denis Cheshirev, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Eden Hazard. Belgium's Thibaut Courtois picked up the Golden Glove Award as the tournament's best goalkeeper, while Spain won the Fair Play Trophy, having gone out at the last 16 stage. And Mbappe, who scored in the final, won the award for the best young player of the tournament. France defender Adil Rami has announced his retirement from international football. He made a total of 35 appearances for France since his debut in 2010. Pussy Riot claimed responsibility for a group of protesters who took the field during the final World Cup match in Moscow on Sunday, indicating in a statement that the field invasion was staged to bring attention to political injustices in Russia. Minutes into the game's second half, 4 protesters dressed as policemen ran onto the field at Moscow's Luzhniki Stadium, interrupting play. I am Samson O'Malley in Moscow.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Here in Washington, Major League Soccer's DC United team officially opened its new $400 million stadium over the weekend. Audi Field is located within walking distance of our VOA headquarters here in Southwest Washington. A sold-out crowd of more than 20,500 packed the stadium, and they saw newly acquired Wayne Rooney and DC United beat the Vancouver Whitecaps 3-1. English star Rooney entered the game in the 58th minute, and Wayne assisted on DC United's third goal in the 80th minute by Paul Areola. Areola also scored in the 69th minute. And the first goal in Audi Field history came off the foot of DC United's Argentine midfielder Yamil Assad, who rocketed the ball into the top right corner of the net in the 27th minute. Before the match, VOA's Arianta Budiento asked Wayne Rooney how he was feeling ahead of his Major League Soccer debut.
Yeah, I feel good, obviously. It's exciting to be at the opening of the stadium. It's a lovely stadium, and just excited now to play on Saturday.
Yeah. So what do you think about playing with the DC United? You've been playing, your career has been in England, and now you're coming to the US and play with the DC United.
Yeah, excited. I think it's obviously a big change for myself and my family to come here to play and live, but I feel it's the right decision to come here, and I'm excited. A new league, obviously playing in front of new fans, so it should be good, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm just excited now for Saturday.
So what do you think you can bring to the American soccer scene?
Yeah, I think I can bring goals, obviously score goals throughout my career. I think I've got a lot of experience, which I could use to help some of the younger players, in particular, in the team. And you know, a winning mentality. I've always wanted to win wherever I've played, and hopefully I can bring that and I can rub off on the other players.
So you've been training with the team for a couple of times. What do you think is the difference between the style of playing probably in England as opposed to like in America? Is there any difference?
From what I've seen in training, there's not much difference. I think the players are a good group of players, very talented, and I've seen that already in training. But if I'm being honest, I'd have to obviously wait to see. I play a few games and then to know the difference.
So outside of soccer, are you looking forward the most being here in BC?
Yeah, I think obviously I've got to settle in. Obviously looking for a house at the moment, and then for a school for my children. So I have to obviously prioritise them and try and get them in the school as quick as I can. And then, just enjoy the city. Something different, something new site, obviously, so some great landmarks here to go and visit. So I'll do that and enjoy it.
That's English star Wayne Rooney of Major League Soccer's DC United team. And Rooney was talking with VOA's Ariadna Budiento here in Washington. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao won by knockout for the first time in 9 years to claim the World Boxing Association welterweight title in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. After dethroning former WBA champion Lucas Matisse of Argentina, the 39-year-old Pac-Man made the following proclamation, and I quote, "This is it! I'm back in boxing! I am not done! I'm still there," says Pac-Man. It was Pacquiao's first bout since a controversial loss last year to Jeff Horn in Australia. Since then, Pac-Man has parted ways with longtime trainer Freddie Roach to work with his lifelong friend Boo Boy Fernandez, who served as an assistant trainer in previous fights. I love that name. Boo Boy, Boo Boy, Boo Boy, Boo Boy and Pac-Man, Boo Boy and Pac-Man. They're now a team. I love it. It was the 60th victory of Pacquiao's great prize fighting career against 7 defeats and 2 draws. Pac-Man knocked Matisse down onto a knee in the 3rd and 5th rounds. Pacquiao knocked Matisse down again in the 7th round, and Matisse spat out his mouthpiece, causing a frenzy among the Pacquiao fans in Kuala Lumpur. Manny Pacquiao, the new World Boxing Association welterweight champion. Turning to cycling, Monday is a rest day in the Tour de France, the sport's greatest race, and I think the riders probably need a day off after Sunday's Stage 9. Every cyclist who reached the finish line was covered in dust, many with their jerseys torn to shreds from crashes on the action-packed cobblestone course. German cyclist John Degenkolb won a 3-man sprint to claim victory in a memorable stage. Yellow jersey holder Greg Van Avermaet of Belgium finished second and increased his overall lead to 43 seconds ahead of British rider Geraint Thomas. Thomas is a teammate of Chris Froome, the 4-time Tour de France champion, who's currently 8th overall, 1 minute and 42 seconds behind Van Avermaet. Tour de France cycling heating up! And that wraps up the July 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Ebola survivors in Sierra Leone will have some much-needed help in recovering from the deadly disease through the assistance of the United States. On July 28th, U.S. Ambassador to Sierra Leone, Maria Brewer, gave opening remarks during a handover ceremony of 19 categories of specialized medicines worth $215,000 to support emerging needs and medical care for Ebola survivors. These medicines are a donation from the United States government through the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID. The ceremony took place at the University of Sierra Leone Teaching Hospital Complex, Connaught Hospital, and underscored the United States government's support for the Ministry of Health and Sanitation health system strengthening efforts during the post-Ebola recovery period. The United States government donation of medicines to the Ministry of Health and Sanitation is a symbol of our greater commitment to promoting and supporting the Global Health Security Agenda, or GHSA. GHSA provides an innovative, proactive approach to prevent, detect, and respond to future disease outbreaks. The medicines will be available in 20 hospitals nationwide to populations covered under the Sierra Leone Government Free Healthcare Initiative. These medicines will help treat a number of medical conditions experienced by Ebola virus disease survivors, which are also common among the general Sierra Leone population, such as eye care, mental health and neurology, ear, nose, and throat conditions, and joint pain. Overall, U.S. government investments in the health sector contribute directly to the new government of Sierra Leone's priorities, as outlined in the new direction, One Country, One People, with a focus on strengthening service delivery and expanding and improving free health care to vulnerable populations. More specifically, by making these specialty medicines available, the Ministry of Health and Sanitation can improve access to specialized care at the national and district levels, which is expected in the long term to strengthen the referral system between primary health care and hospitals. The United States is proud to work with its partner Sierra Leone to improve health care and disease prevention for the wonderful people of Sierra Leone.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show. Next on Let's Talk, swimming. This is next Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the upset-filled 2018 FIFA World Cup wraps up on Sunday. All five of the teams from Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, Senegal, Morocco and Tunisia were knocked out in the preliminary rounds. A discussion on the World Cup on Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Friday. Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.